The East Timorese government continues to press its case in The Hague to scrap an oil and gas treaty worth billions of dollars over claims of spying by Australia. The bitter spy row escalated last week when ASIO raided the Canberra offices of a lawyer acting for East Timor in The Hague, as well as raiding the home of a whistleblower in the case. But that's not the only dispute dogging the Greater Sunrise Gas Project in the Timor Sea. 7 years on from the signing of the Revenue Sharing Treaty, the gas fields operator, Woodside Petroleum, and the East Timorese government remain at loggerheads over how to develop this massive field. Woodside wants to process the gas on a floating platform. East Timor insists on an onshore processing facility that would create jobs for the country. East Timor's Resources Minister, Alfredo Pires, flies to Perth today to meet with Woodside Chief Executive Peter Coleman to try and break this deadlock. Alfredo Pires spoke yesterday with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
We respect the contracts we have with Woodside. Timor-Leste respect the century of contracts. We have Woodside has the production sharing contracts until 2026, we have not given any license to anybody in regards to the downstreams or the LNG plant, which options. So we just need to discuss more. We need to discuss more. As a matter of fact, we have no choice now. The production sharing contract now expires in 2026. I think no investor will want to purchase the gas given that limited time. The contracts need to be 20 years old. So we've got to sit down. We've got to talk. And Timor-Leste is ready.
Meanwhile, of course, your government is in court in The Hague alleging that Australia bugged the East Timorese cabinet during negotiations over the Sunrise gas field in 2004. And you seem to be arguing that because of those alleged covert operations, the revenue sharing agreement signed between Australia and East Timor subsequently should be annulled. How are you able to continue negotiations with Woodside while this matter is unresolved?
Now, what's happening with arbitration is unfortunate, but it's another issue altogether, a very important issue. My Prime Minister have already spoken about the sentiments of the country in these regards. Yes, you can use the term alleged, but it's a bit stronger than alleged, so much so that for a raid to happen a couple of days before the initiations of the arbitration does give an indication of the strength of the Timor-Leste's case. It's something that we need to solve. In Timor-Leste, we are looking at our future as a nation. We're looking back at our history 400 years ago, the Portuguese occupation, the Indonesian occupation, the United Nations, and we need to look at further up ahead, what's going to happen in 100 years' time, and we find there's an agreement there that will determine our future, and now we find that the agreement has not been done in the most fairest manner.
The former Australian Foreign Minister Alexander Downer, who is now an advisor to Woodside, has said recently that the East Timorese government is pursuing these spying allegations now. He called it as an opportunistic endeavour, that it's really about using that to nullify the treaty between the two countries. What's your response to that?
Well, I think in this game, the word opportunistic shouldn't be used at all. You can use it on their side. I can equally use it for the other side. Big-time opportunism of coming down to the deal of that, of utilizing covert means of a smaller country. I don't want to go into that too much. For Timor-Leste, with Australian people, the relationship we have is strong, and we want to maintain that. Yes, to have learned that some people are now on the payroll of a company, it is disturbing, because Timor-Leste is a young country. We are learning. We've got a lot of systems, international systems. We've been told to stay separate from governments, from companies, conflicts of interest, and so forth. Then we look up to Australia as a model, and then we have this coming up. Doesn't help, but we understand that sometimes human beings do these things, but it needs to be corrected.
Why does the East Timorese government want the revenue sharing agreement with Australia declared invalid, given that it did mandate for a 50-50 share of revenue, and some people in Australia would see that as fair.
We do have international norms around the world, especially in terms of maritime boundaries. And if justice was done, if we went along with international norms, then Bayundan is 100% Timor-Leste. So I can say that we were generous to give you 10%. And I can say that Sunrise is 100% Timor-Leste, and we've been generous to give you 50%. So it depends how we want to look at it. But again, we value the relationship with Australia. This is an issue that we need to go through it in the sake of justice and a relationship. This is not the first time. The little country has gone through a lot in history. We had a big neighbor that did some very nasty things for us, but now we are good friends. We understand we can overcome this thing. So the sooner we get over in this, okay, some people say we're opportunistic. It's not. Our big objective with all this is for a true and honest relationship with Australia.
If you succeed in having the revenue sharing agreement, the CMATS treaty, cancelled, what will you be seeking in its place?
As I said, agreements that will give certainty. They will give certainty to the investors for a very long term.
But you are seeking 100% revenue flow to East Timor because of where the gas fields, in your view, lie.
We are seeking what is ours. We will not take one grain of sand more than what is ours. And I think that's fair.
In the meantime, the Sunrise Gas Project, though, does remain stalled. And as I said, it has been stalled for a long time with no revenue flowing to anyone, East Timor or Australia. How many years away do you envisage this project to be, being developed and the money to flowing to your country, which needs it very badly?
For Timor-Leste, we are ready to move on Greater Sunrise tomorrow, and we are ready to pour a couple of billion dollars into the options, making life easy for everybody. The situation in Timor has changed a lot, especially in the last year. Not only we have the financial resources, but the human capability. In my ministry now, I have 50 young Timorese with master's degrees from the world's best places, including universities in Australia on geosciences. So if you understand why there's a headache, it's because we know what we're talking about in terms of technical terms. We can take the floating LNG apart and tell you there is actually weaknesses. You can bring us a model. We can find your weaknesses where it is. And it's going to get tougher in terms of knowledge, in terms of financial resources and experience in the field. But these are all part of robust discussions that needs to happen in oil and gas. But we are ready.
That's Alfredo Pires, East Timor's Minister for Petroleum and Mineral Resources, speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. And he flies to Perth today for a meeting with the chief executive of Woodside Petroleum. That meeting coming up later today. Meanwhile, in a statement received from Woodside, the company says it remains committed to developing the Greater Sunrise fields. It says, we value our relationships with the Timor-Leste and Australian governments and seek alignment to allow the timely development of this resource for the benefit of all stakeholders.